Call on WTLS continues. Coach Rodney Dollar joins us as we continue a century of Tattlesee High School football. Coach, good morning. Good to talk to you today.
Morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys, and good morning, Tallahassee, Alabama.
Hey, Rodney.
We were talking earlier. Steve Stokes asked, "You're down in the Wiregrass. You're down in the Dothan area. Is that correct right now?"
I live in Headland, Alabama.
There you have it. Well, we certainly have some good memories of your time as a Tallahassee Tiger. One thing I've done with talking to our coaches here over the past several weeks is kind of go back and look at their history. And I want to go back because we heard about your time as a player when you were in high school at Central in Phoenix City. And one of the things that when I ran into Ron Ingram one time, he's with the High School Athletic Association, he said he's one of the best baseball players I've ever seen. We think about you as a football coach, but you could swing the bat and play some baseball too. Talk about that time as a high school player, prep star in Phoenix City.
Well, I played everything, and my favorite sport at the time was basketball, but I had a chance to sign with Larry Chapman, but I went off and played one summer AAU, and at that time they didn't play any zone, so no, I couldn't even get a shot off. Everybody else was so quick, so I decided I better go with the slow white man sport, which was baseball, and that ended up being the good thing for me. And even after playing all those years, I just decided I didn't want to coach it. I just couldn't understand why people couldn't do the stuff I did. You know, God gave me a lot of talent, and it was just hard to understand why couldn't everybody else do what I was doing. And football taxed my mind, so that's where I went with that.
You were with the Houston Astros organization. I remember you telling me a story about that. You talked about some of these players and what they were doing. You just couldn't believe what you were seeing of these kids coming up. And then many of them from, south of the border, I guess. And you said, well, I think this is not for me anymore. But you did have a minor league career for a little while, and you played some college baseball, too. Talk about that.
Yeah, I actually led the nation in hitting at Wallace and Dothan a long time ago. Then signed at Auburn after that. We weren't very good at Auburn, but I wouldn't trade those years for anything in the world. I had a great time at Auburn, and I know that's not real popular to y'all, but War Eagle. But I had great football games and good Friday nights, but the baseball was not that great. But anyway, that led me to the Astros, and I was lucky. Like I said, God gave me a lot of ability, and it just came natural when the ball came up at me. It was unreal, but I was nothing compared to those 15, 16-year-old Dominicans that were coming over. They were phenomenal. It was just unreal, the things they could do.
Yeah, you said you roomed with what we call Sean Dunston, who played with the Cubs, but you said his name is really Shawan. It's spelled Shawan. So talk about that time. He's one guy that you knew that made it to the bigs.
Yeah, Shawan Dunston, he ended up being pretty good. But the thing that I remember mostly about him is standing behind home plate at the backstop and throwing the baseball over the center field wall, which was about 435, 440 down in rookie ball. He had one of the best arms I've ever seen. One of my roommates at one time was Jim Donnelly, who was also a tight end on Pittsburgh's team when they won the national championship with Tony Dorsett. I also roomed with Al Morin, who was a quarterback at Lehigh when they won. And then I had a little bit of time with Charles Barkley at Auburn as my suite mate up at Auburn when I was there. So,
yeah, like, what was it like with Sir Charles there?
A lot of eating going on and a lot of cards being played, some gambling going here. And we had a few one-on-ones that were ugly as you can get. It was just amazing.
All right, so the football career starts for you as a coach at Glenwood Academy. Talk about, you mentioned a little bit there about getting into coaching on the football side of things. So kind of talk about your early years as a head coach.
Well, my first year really at Ozark, Carroll High School Ozark, the coach told me I had never coached before. He said, "You got the B team." I said, "Well, we're going to go over stuff." He said, "No, I'm going to film it, and then I'll tell you later on what you did right and wrong." And that's how I learned to coach. I learned basically on my own, and then we went from there. And after my first year of being an assistant coach, I got a head football job and moved on from there. And I guess at Woodland Christian, one of my jobs, I beat Glenwood, which was the big private school in Phoenix City. And that win propelled me to jobs after that. When I got the Glenwood job, and then we lost in the state championship game to Morgan Academy, then that just propelled me to get jobs on down the line.
The Woodland job, was that a head coaching job before Glenwood?
Yes, that's in the same city as Glenwood, but that was right before I got the Glenwood job.
Yeah, okay. Yep. And Glenwood's had some pretty good tradition as an AISA school.
Oh, unreal tradition. But back in the 70s, they were just they were phenomenal. They've always been great in baseball, but their football was really good. It was in the Monroe Academy back in the day.
So then you go to the AHSA ranks after a few years at Glenwood, and you talked about making it to the title game at Headland, where you get a chance to go coach for 3 years there, where you are now. So what was that like?
Well, it was my first real public school head football experience. And basically, if you look at my whole career, it's really the only place that I was not successful at. And after 3 years, it was time to move on. And that's what we did here. And I'm back here, and all of my ex-players, we still go out and do things together. They're great friends of mine now, and they're pushing me for other things. But at that time, we just didn't have a lot of talent, and I was not a very good coach at that time. So we were not. You put those two things together, and there's not a lot of success built in that. But I'm going to tell you something. I probably learned more from that job than I did on any other job I've been at. I just learned how not to make so many dadgum rules. I made rules. I probably kicked off a state championship team just because I wanted it done my way so bad.
Well, the winning came pretty quickly thereafter, as you mentioned. Sampson the next year, only 1 year there, but you go 10-2.
That's correct. We had, I wish we could have stayed longer there. Went 10-2 with only three seniors, and that group of kids ended up doing some good things after we left there. That was some unfortunate circumstances, but that led to probably one of my favorite jobs of all, which was in Frisco City, Alabama. A lot of people don't know where that is, but that's just great people, and that's as close to the Friday Night Lights book as you'll ever see, because the whole town packs up and goes with you on Friday night and watches you play football.
And Frisco City, one of the great nicknames of all, the Whippets.
The Whippets. And you just think you like one of those dogs, but I'll tell you, for people, don't get you one of those dogs, because they'll dig up every piece of yard you got. They are high-strung dogs.
You're a pug man. You still got your pugs?
I got one. We just lost our oldest one about 3 or 4 months ago, and we cried for 4 or 5 weeks. But, we still got one. Lucy's still here. She's right in my lap, sleeping right now. She's not an early morning girl.
That's funny. I sent you a picture this week because we both had pugs, and it was a photo of a birthday party we had with both of us with our pugs in our arms, and that's a pretty good one back in the day. So you go from Frisco City. You go from Frisco City and three winning seasons to a Houston Academy, where you had some great success there for 8 years. Talk about that time there.
Well, Frisco City, we really didn't want to leave, but they were having some financial problems down there. And eventually, I think 4 or 5 years after we left, they closed the school down.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we went to Houston Academy, and that probably is the best move I've made in my whole career, because they were fixing to actually close the program down, because they were just not physically ready for anything. And the first night of practice, I came home and told Kim, I said, well, we've made a mistake. We got to go somewhere else, because that was the worst brand of football I'd ever seen. Good baseball school, but then things just started happening. And our last 2 years, we were 11-1 and 12-1, and won a lot of football games in 8 years, a lot of football games. And those football games led me to the big job. And the job I probably wish I was still at right now. There ain't no probably. I do wish I was still. It's Tallahassee, because that's where, you know, Kim's best friend still lives there. And I still have tremendous friends from Tallahassee, Alabama. Love it and miss it to death.
I want to talk about the first opportunity for you to get the job at Tallahassee while you're at Houston Academy, and you had already shown great winning success there. And it's when Phil Lindsay was hired. Steve Stokes told us this morning he was on that hiring committee. And you were actually interviewed and very high on Carl Stewart, who was the principal's list. You remember that time before you got the job the next go-round?
Yes, I do. And because of that time, that's the only reason that I interviewed the next time. I was quite impressed the first time I interviewed. And when it came open again, I told Kim, I said, that's a place I think I would love to coach, because I think that's a very good chance to really study football and grow as a family also.
And you did get the job in 2007, and you had three winning seasons here. Talk about the teams you had during that four-year stretch.
Well, Smitty Grider, who was the coach at Beauregard at the time, is now the new coach down here at the New Dothan High School, and he and I have had lunch a couple times, and Smitty doesn't think – he always tells me I wasn't a good coach, I just had a good player, and he was speaking of Mike Smith, and I'll tell you that, you know, Mike was a major difference in whoever we played at that time, because when he broke it, he was gone, we all know that. But I had other good players too, Trey Cochran Gill, you know, Davis Knapp. I had some real cerebral players there, along with great talent also. So, you know, Jonathan Haynes and a bunch of those guys when I first got there that were willing to stick it out and get ready for the next year. But when I first got there, if you remember, y'all were 4A.
Right.
But we just got to 5A, and you'd have thought that the sky was falling. You know, what are we going to do? Well, we'll just get in the weight room, work hard. And the kids bought in, and it was fantastic. And I'll never, although I didn't have any success in the playoffs there, I'll never forget that last ball game in the playoffs where we got beat. I'll just never forget that whole week where the T-shirts were selling, the crowds were unreal, and that crowd, that last game, that was just unreal. I've never seen anything like that in high school to this day.
And that draw that you got was just an unfortunate state championship draw in the first round in Spanish Fort in that year. And that was a really good year. We had a 9-1 season. We went almost perfect. You lost just the one game to Eufaula. Let's start kind of talking about that year. And Trey Cochran-Gill was the quarterback, and he had an exceptional game. And I would say in the final minute, I've never seen a better comeback drive in that game against Eufaula, where we ended up missing an extra point to tie it to send it to overtime. Kind of go through that sequence with what was a 90-plus yard scoring drive in that game, the only regular season loss that year.
Well, it's so many times that people say that coaches win or lose or quarterbacks win or lose. And I'll tell you right now, I was not near the coach I was without Trey Cochran-Gill. I do remember when I had to go to his parents, because I wasn't going to start him when I first got there because he was young. And I said, hey, I need Trey. They let me put him in as a ninth grader, I think it was. But anyway, Trey was that type of kid that when he was on the field, there, he was never flustered. It didn't matter what the situation was. And if you know him, which everybody in Chelsea knows him, he just was fantastic. And we had some kids around him, like his best friend Davis Knapp. Those two just always clicked. And you could always depend on those two to make some big play. You had Dijon Pascal out there, Mike and Quan. Somebody was going to make a play at some time, and you just didn't have to worry. I just had to maybe get the play into them, and they took over. It wasn't. I promise you, it had nothing to do with me. It was Trey and the bunch of guys that were putting things together.
You talked about the Spanish Fort game and that atmosphere that week leading in. Spanish Fort did go on to win the state title. That was your final game at Tattlesee. Talk about the game itself. It was battle of two. No doubt that Tattlesee had one of the top teams in the state. They really were probably the only challenger for Spanish Fort the rest of the way.
Well, I can remember with the new stadium, all the people coming up to the Tiger Den and eating before, and then us coming out of the stadium and the people in there. And it was just electric. I mean, I'm getting chill bumps on me right now talking about it. It's unreal. And you're right. To draw somebody like that, I think they had finished like in a three-way tie in that region. And by a coin flip, we got them to come to us. So you really got punished by finishing first in our region. But if you recall, now I know you'll correct me if I'm wrong here, Michael, we won the region by beating Valley in overtime with a block kick over in Valley. Is that right?
That was 2009, and that was the Gulf Shores 1-4 where they had like five teams tied, yes. Same kind of situation, okay, though. Right. So very similar, yeah.
Same kind of situation, that's right.
Because Spanish Fort, anyway, I think, weren't able to play their quarterback early that year and lost early, but they ended up being a 3 seed. We ended up being a 2 that year.
That's correct. Yeah. That's right. That's right. I got my years mixed up, but you're right about that. And but they were fantastic. A third seed? No way. Like you said, winning the state championship, their quarterback ended up going somewhere, but he was great. I think somebody was there to watch him that night, and they were actually there to watch Hunter Mullins also. I forgot about Hunter, too. Got us out of a lot of problems. But, yeah, that was unreal. I'll never forget that. And the only comparison I got to that is when Davis blocked that kick at Valley.
Yep.
And we came back listening to the After the Game show on the bus and having that Valley jersey that I had made up. So that was a good night, too. But
I remember you telling me about that. You said you guys were jamming listening to Trey's show. Trey, you can take some credit on this one.
Well, Kim called in and said she wanted me to play No Parking on the Dance Floor. They hit the Tallahassee exit. She said, we want to hear it coming up the 229 there. So, you know, kudos to Kim for calling it in. And, you know, we jammed it.
Well, Trey, let me tell you something. My beauty queen of 35 years usually likes to sleep a little late in the morning. She got up this morning just to talk to you. I guarantee you, she's sitting right here listening to the interview, and she was pumping her hand when you said no parking on the dance floor.
Yeah, I hear her back there. Yeah, but, you know, she was full of zest, and, you know, always kept everybody pumped up. I appreciate it. She called in a lot on the show.
What y'all did after the game, what y'all did for us up there, it can never be duplicated. It was fantastic. And, you know, you always say, I'd love to go back, love to go back. You can't go back. Once it's done, it's done. But you got it for our life of memories. And I miss that because it was so much fun, man. Y'all just made it exciting that after you won or lost, it was nice to listen to y'all's show because everybody was so nice that called in.
Yeah.
Well, I got one for good morning to Kim and you. I'll play this for you. This is the final play of that Valley win, the overtime victory, which gave Tallahassee the area championship, the region title in 2009.
And they may come back out and go for it now.
Yeah. No and kicker. They come back out in the
Enrique Florence in the game in I formation. He's a tailback.
Get a sweep.
They fumble it. Fumble. On the ground. They pick it up. Still running left. He's going to be tackled. Tallahassee's won it. They won it! Tigers win! 17-14! Pandemonium here in Valley! The Tigers win the region tonight in overtime! 17-14!
You celebrate, Tigers! You celebrate, baby! Go do it right there on the field!
How about that, Coach? Is that the biggest win at Tallahassee, you think, that you had here? They did give us the 5A region title, something we had never had before.
Most definitely. Yeah, that was the biggest win we had. It was always fun to beat Elmore County, for sure, but that win was by far the biggest. It meant the most. And I want to tell you one coaching point about that. I went out on the field, and people say, well, the coach is going to make a big decision. When I went on the field, Davis Knapp runs up to me and says, and everybody knows Davis, you see him, he's jittering like ADDDD, and he goes, I think I can block it, Coach. And I said, well, Davis didn't block it. And that was the strategy for it, and he blocked it before I even got off the field. He blocked the kick, and so there was no coaching decision. It was just, it was a coaching decision with Davis Knapp, who is going to be a great coach in all respects in baseball today. But, that's how things went. You grow in excitement. And Davis figured some way out that he could beat that corner and block that kick, and he did it.
He did. We had to block the kick to get to overtime and then make the stop on the play that you just heard there. And Davis was the hero for that play, no doubt, which helped us, propelled us to a W that night. I'm looking at these teams. There were three solid teams from 08 to 10. And, you know, and we talked about, you know, the first round, the draws we got, it was kind of unfortunate, but – I mean, those were three really good teams. Did you feel like any of them were, you know, was there one that was better than the other? If you had to go pick, what was the top team, or are they all pretty even? What was your thinking on that during those years?
Well, the hardest game that I had was Valley all the time because they were so physical. I've always considered myself to be a physical coach, but I actually think that Valley out-physicaled us some of the time. I don't know if that's even a term, but – you followed. Dan always had some very good athletes. but I always thought sometimes we were more physical than them. But yeah, Valley, they were always the hardest team, even though you knew when Roger McDonald was over there, they weren't going to throw the ball. They were just going to run the football at you. But man, it was always a war when we played Valley.
You brought up Eufaula. You did beat Eufaula when they were the number one team in the state. We've done that, I think, about three times with the ranked teams here at Tallahassee. And I remember you saying something that we beat number one. But how about that W versus Eufaula coming in as a top-ranked team in Class 5A football in 08?
Well, that's always special when you can beat number one. It's just there's something when they got that number one tag on them. Your kids seem to get pumped up a little bit more. And then after you get the win, it's real high. Your program really just sky high. And that was a big win for us, very big win, especially against a program that had won a state championship like Eufaula had.
Yeah, you've kept up with Tallahassee and what's coming up these years, and we talked about Realtown. And I remember the conversation was there back when you were coaching of putting Realtown back on the schedule. And you talked about success that you had at Houston Academy because you beat them in the playoffs. When you guys faced off in 2A. What do you think about that rivalry coming back now?
I think it's fantastic. And like you said, I tried to get it over there, but there was said that as long as some certain people are involved, they'll never play. So I heard never all the time. But I kept telling people, they were saying it's too dangerous. It's too, I said, no, it's not dangerous. Think of the money that you'll make for both communities, and that's what high school sports needs is the money and that exposure. And I am so happy for y'all that y'all've gotten that, because I want to know what the gate's going to be when that game happens, because it ought to be tremendous.
And that's just it. We're just not sure about the season ahead, but I guess I'll ask you, do you think there'll be football on a high school level coming up in August?
Well, the way it is around here, no, I don't. The way they're talking, and Michael, you don't even know who to believe nowadays, but the way people are talking, I don't know how you can medically, safely put people out there for 2.5 hours to slobber on each other, spit on each other, roll around the sweat. I don't know how you can medically do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you're still interested. You've kind of been, I guess we'd call it semi-retirement, but you say you're not out of it. If the right thing comes along, you're interested in getting back in the game yourself as a coach.
I have sent for the last 4 months, I can't even tell you how many jobs I've applied for. I've interviewed for like 7 or 8 of them. And being out 7 years, people are questioning if I can do it again. But somebody's going to take a chance on me, and I'm going to come back and beat a lot of people when that happens. But I've just got to have that one person to take a chance. I had a stroke in 2013, but if you were to see me now, you would never know that anything ever happened. I'm just working my way back, and I'm strong as an ox, and I'm ready to go for anybody that's available out there.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're doing better and with your health, and I know you're enjoying those. Your grandfather now, I know you're enjoying that part of life too.
Ooh, Lord in mercy. them three wild things right there. Now. Yeah, I love him. Love them boys. It's fantastic. They live about 3 or 4 miles from us, and it's fantastic. I can go see them at the drop of a hat. And that's probably why I get up every morning, just them three boys.
Well, Coach, it's always good to catch up with you. We've kept up over the years. I wish we could see you more, but we'll definitely keep in touch, and good luck with things in the future. Hope to see you back on the sidelines soon.
Michael, one last thing before you go.
Yes.
I want to give a good shout-out to Bobby Abrams. I miss Bobby a lot, and people don't realize how good of a boss he was to come to every morning. He was great for Tallahassee High School.
Well, certainly I agree with that, reiterate those sentiments as well. Thanks to you, Coach, and good morning to Kim as well. We miss talking to you guys regularly, but we'll hopefully see you soon, all right?
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a great day.
You
good
too.
Luck, Coach. Good luck. Good
see you, Kim. Thank soon, you, Coach. Kim. Talk to y'all soon. And hello to Lucy the Pug as well this morning. Coach Rodney Dollar with us here as we continue a history of Tallahassee football dating back to 1921. Been a lot of years, a lot of good ones, certainly under Coach Dollar as well. More coming up.